Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens, at the heart of Irish homes for over 40 years. Cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Now, a top Conservative Party official has taken a leave of absence over these allegations that he placed bets on the timing of next month's UK general election. Nick Mason, the Tory party's chief data officer, is being investigated by the Gambling Commission for allegedly betting on the timing of the election before the date had been announced. And the revelations were first reported in the Sunday Times. I'm joined by Lucy Fisher, who's Whitehall editor with the Financial Times. And Lucy, I see that Labour have written to the Gambling Commission last night saying, look, you need to tell us who these other people are that you're investigating in relation to this gambling scandal as it now is. They really are heaping the pressure on the Conservatives, and it would lead us to believe the rumours that there are more people involved than the four we know about.
Well, I think that is the case, although there has been a slight backlash to that this morning with Chris Heaton-Harris, the Northern Ireland Secretary, suggesting that, in fact, this is Labour inappropriately leaning on an independent body during an election time in a way that's not appropriate. So there is a slight tension over whether it is acceptable or not for Labour to be urging the gambling regulator to take this action. But certainly what we've learnt over the weekend, you know, you made reference there to Nick Mason, the chief data officer at the Conservative Party, who's taken a leave of absence after facing investigation from the regulator. And now the news that investigators are combing through hundreds of names of people who placed election-related bets and stood to make £199 or more from those bets to see if they, or crucially, their family or friends, work for the Conservative Party.
And what about what people are saying when it comes to how Rishi Sunak is dealing with this? I see Tobias Elwood, the former Tory minister, and he's a candidate too. He is saying this morning that Rishi Sunak should be doing more to limit the damage to the party caused by the controversy. Now, what does Tobias Elwood and others who have the same beliefs around this want Rishi Sunak to do?
Well, they are clear, and there is a lot of anger in the Conservative Party that I have also picked up behind the scenes. They want Rishi Sunak to suspend the two candidates who are engulfed in this row. That's Craig Williams, who was Rishi Sunak's closest parliamentary aide, working as his parliamentary private secretary during the last parliament. And secondly, Laura Saunders, who is a candidate for Bristol North West, who is married to the party's director of campaigning, who has also taken a leave of absence. So Tobias Elwood and others feel that it's inappropriate that they retain the party's endorsement going into the election. Those defending that decision point out to, for example, the treatment that Labour made of Keir Starmer during the Beergate scandal during COVID, where, of course, he said if he were found to be guilty, he would step down. But while the investigation was ongoing, he'd stay in post. So they say it's akin to that, that these candidates should be treated as innocent until proven guilty.
Well, then you have the contrast between how the Tory people are being treated and the police officer who was in Rishi Sunak's close protection team who was arrested and suspended on foot of the allegations.
Well, absolutely. And I think that is why there are so many inside the party, both candidates, ministers and party officials who I've spoken to, who really would have liked to see the leadership grip this scandal with much more robustness and come out early to suspend these candidates, make clear that anyone involved in this scandal will feel, you know, the full kind of disciplinary action that is due. But I think there is a worry now that we're only 10 days out from the election day itself, and that we could yet see the drip of more names, possibly more candidates, potentially caught up in the scandal.
And it's really telling what Michael Gove had said, the levelling up secretary, that this is sucking the oxygen out of the campaign. I mean, things for the Tories, Lucy, they're already a mess, and this just compounds matters, I'm sure.
Well, I think that's right. It's just been kind of gaffe after error after disaster in this campaign, starting off with Rishi Sunak calling it in the pouring rain. Then, of course, him appearing in the Titanic Quarter in Belfast. Then the row over the party chairman doing the so-called chicken run from the northwest to a much safer seat in Essex. Then the huge row over Rishi Sunak leaving D-Day commemorations in Normandy earlier. And now this. So it does feel like it's been one thing after the other. And I'm interested in the analysis of pollsters like Luke Trill of the More in Common consultancy, who says, you know, the orthodoxy is in a short campaign that the polls narrow, that the huge gap we've seen between Labour and the Tories would have shrunk. But he and others believe that it is this series of gaffes and errors that has meant that Labour's 20-odd point lead has remained rock solid heading into election day.
And that's really interesting what your own poll at the Financial Times found, a poll run by Ipsos, that the Conservatives have lost up to a third of voters who had planned to back the party just 4 months ago. So do we know what has changed their minds in this short period of time?
Well, people who kind of like me, who write about politics and follow it closely, often talk about two types of voters. There are values voters and valence voters. And for the latter, the key metric is around competence. And I think that, you know, the sort of slew of errors that some of which I've outlined, there are more, you know, has really compounded the sense of some voters that this is not a party that is, you know, in control of its own affairs, its own campaign. And also there are key questions around competence of the way, you know, it's run the country. And naturally in an election campaign, some, you know, people with busy lives and jobs who don't ordinarily pay a huge attention to politics or the governing of the country suddenly tune in, and they will be kind of matching up whether Rishi Sunak's pledges have, you know, lived up to reality. And of course, we know the answer that in many of those areas, such as reducing NHS waiting lists, such as stopping the boats crossing the channel, you know, there has not been success.
Mm-hmm. And it's interesting as well to look at where those voters might go in the Financial Times poll. So you've got Reform UK attracting 88% of the Tory voters, 6% going to Labour, but 7% saying that they're undecided.
Yeah, I think that is interesting. And where, you know, the undecideds go, that's what a lot of politicians are still kind of trying, you know, Tories hope that they can win back. You know, a huge proportion going to Reform. It does feel like this phenomenon of the vote on the right in the UK being split is a real one. And I think the interesting thing will be to see on July the 5th, the national vote share that Reform UK get in terms of votes, but also the number of seats, which is expected to be, you know, minuscule. Some MRP models even suggest that Reform might get a lot of votes, but may yet get no seats. And I think we could then again see, you know, a reprisal of the argument around the UK's voting system, the first-past-the-post majoritarian system in the UK, not being fit for purpose. And those people who, you know, support smaller parties, including the Lib Dems, including the Green Party, as well as Reform, calling again for a new look at proportional representation.
Now, Boris Johnson is still lurking around. He turned 60 at the weekend.
Well, he did indeed, and very interesting to see this supposed garden party that he held for some guests where there were not enough chairs, and him making a quip in his inimitable manner, saying that this was not the only party with not enough seats. Obviously, he's seeing the funny side, perhaps, for in some ways, for the kind of woes facing his successor, Rishi Sunak, who, of course, was involved in the move to oust him in the first place.
Yeah, unsurprising that he'd have a little jibe at him at the birthday party. Now, Rishi Sunak is in Edinburgh today launching the Scottish Tory manifesto, and we were expecting to hear a scathing attack from him on Labour over their plans for the North Sea oil and gas industry. What can you tell us, Lucy, about that and about what we're likely to hear?
Well, this is a big line of attack, and in some ways I'm interested that the Conservative Party haven't kind of, you know, dialed up earlier how Labour would extend the oil and gas windfall tax in terms of the rate of the tax and the length of time that it is imposed on the industry, as well as, of course, you know, having this dividing line with the Tories over drilling licences for fossil fuel extraction in the North Sea. I think it's interesting that, you know, the Conservatives, of course, while in south of the border in England, we've seen them very much retreat to safe seats of majorities of 15,000 votes and above, showing that, you know, this is very much a defensive campaign in England where they are not expecting to gain new seats. In Scotland, some Tory insiders are still hopeful that there are a few seats that they could yet win and pick off from the SNP.
All right, not long to go now until the British election. Lucy, thank you very much as always for joining us. Lucy is the Whitehall editor with the Financial Times. Coming up next, from Wicklow to Trinidad, the extraordinary story of Hermitage Green star Dara Graham and how he tracked down his birth parents.
Text 51551 today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.